officially started in that was the shit called when Davin's over, no? Yeah. We left off last week. We were discussing the very lumdish sveik of the Ramah. Important sveik, not only in terms of Hilchos Nida, but in terms of Hilchos sveik in general. So the Ramah told us the following, dealt with the following shayla. A woman comes to us with the following question, that she had her ears down, she saw blood, but she has a few sveikas. She's not exactly sure where the blood came from. What are her sveikas? So suffix number one is that she's not sure whether the blood even came from the uterus in the first place. Maybe it came from the uterus, maybe it came from the tzad, and maybe it came from a different part of her body. And even if it's over that it came from the uterus, she has a mark on the uterus. She knows that she has some kind of a irritation, some kind of a wound in that place, in the machar. But she doesn't know for sure that that wound is bleeding. If she would know for sure she has a mark, a shemotzi dam, then we would say she's muteros legamri. Not a problem, not even a suffix. But she's not sure. She has a mark that's any adua shemotzi dam. No doctors around, no one can tell her what the story is. So she has, in a sense, a sveik sveika. So she has suffix number one. Maybe the dam is from the machar. Maybe it's not from the machar. And even if it's from the Mokor, maybe it's from the Makashim and Mokor. So the Ramah said, in one fell swoop, this woman is Muteris. That's called the Sveik Sveikas. And last week we spoke about, is that really work, the Sveik Sveikas? And Uchas Nid, that's in a Sakares, and it's a Din of Tumah. We spoke about all the Lumdus last week, the Sheish Mites angle of the Shana. Is that really considered to meet all the criteria of Sveik Sveikas? So there's one last Akuda that the post can discuss concerning the Ramah before we move on, that the Acharonim will jump on the Ramah and say, wait a second. This is not a sveik sveika. This is a violation of what the Tosfos in Maseches Ksubos calls a sveik sveika b'shem echad. Shem echad means when it sounds like a sveik sveika, it sounds like you're creating a lot of different possibilities, but they're all the same. It's all one suffix. What would you say about the following shayla? Let's say a woman comes and says, I'm not sure where the dam came from. Maybe it came from the mokor, maybe it came from the makra. But I happen to have two makras. So maybe it came from the mokor, maybe it came from makra number one. And even if it's alone, it didn't come from makra number one, maybe it came from makra number two. So the post came right, that's not a sveik sveika, that's a joke. That's called shemecha, makra one, makra two, makra three. It's all the same makra. It's all the same, it's not the same makra, but it's all the same halachic suffix. Either it's been a makor, it's been a makor. So sveik sveika only can be applied when the two sveikas are independent. When you can call the two sveikas two different halachic considerations, but it's just one and the same. You're just chazing over. You're saying over in different terms the same lattice of suffix. That's not called the sveik sveika. So to over here, the achronim jump on their amon and say, what kind of sveik sveika is this? Either it's dam nidus or it's dam maka. I don't care where the maka is. The maka can be a maka that started, and the maka can be a maka, and the maka can be wherever it comes from. It's irrelevant. He said it's one suffix. The latest of suffix is this dam nidus or is this dam maka? Is this dam nidus or is this dam maka? Say it 20 more times over. It's the same suffix. There's one 50-50 suffix. Either it's dam nidus or it's dam maka. That's not called a sveik sveika. So the achronim jump on their ramah. They said they're not sure what the ramah is talking about. So comes in Eidei Yehuda. And he says what the Ramah is referring to is as follows. The poskim have a klal, that when do we call a sveik sveika a shem echad? When the halachic result of both of the sveikas is mamash the same. So let's say, lamashal, she has two makas, right? So she'll say that either the dam's dam nida, or it's for maka number one. Or it's dam nidas, or it's maka number two. The halachic ramifications of being from maka number one or from being from maka number two are mamash the same. That maka number one is the same as that maka number two. So that's mamash the shem echad. But over here, the Rebbe Yehuda says there are halachic ramifications that differ whether the dam comes from the tzad. The tzad means it's not from the uterus, bechlal. It's coming from the cervix, coming from the vaginal, from the legamri, somewhere else. Or whether the dam is coming from a maka sheba mochor. There are differences halacha lemaisa. In theory, we'll see in a minute. There are differences lemaisa between dam that comes from it's tzadin, and dam that comes from a makashim and mocha. What's the difference? So it says in the Rebbe Yehuda, this week you have to learn Tumah v'Tahara. Remember last week, we spoke a little bit about the interplay between Uchas Nida and Uchas Tumah. So comes in the Rebbe Yehuda, he remembered Uchas Tumah. Comes in the Rebbe Yehuda and says, tucked away, Da'up Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida, that there's a halacha as follows. If a woman has dam that comes from the tzadin, that's like blood from her finger, like blood from her nosebleed. That dam is not tamei. Not only does that dam not make her into a nida, but that dam itself is not an avatuma. That dam, it's nothing. Blood from a person is not tomek. But, says in the, if you have dam from a maka sheba mokor, so even though dam from a maka sheba mokor doesn't make the woman into a nida, that's a fact, that's a given. But, as the Gemara tucked away in the end of Maseches Nida, it says, any blood that originated in the mokor, even if it came from a maka, the mokor is an avatuma. And it's going to be metame yadam kedem, it's going to be metame food, it's going to make things tomek. So says in the Yehuda, We don't observe Tumah V'Tahar anymore. Remember last week from the Kuzari. We don't observe Tumah V'Tahar anymore, but we still have to be cognizant of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahar. And the Hilchos Tumah V'Tahar, says in Yehuda, is going to change this halacha. It's going to tell us that dam that comes from a makosh and a mokor, a pi halacha, is not the same as dam that comes from the other. There's a difference. I dug up one nafkamina ladina. Once I made up one nafkamina ladina, that's not called a shemecher anymore. Once it's not called a shemecher anymore, this woman is home free. Spake, spake is going to be matar. You hear this? This is mamish wild. You have to. We've been staying as far away from Tumah V'Tahar as possible this year. Comes in Adbiud and says, no, it's Hilchos Tumah V'Tahar that transforms the spake, spake into a valid spake, spake. It's not called a shemecher, and therefore the woman is muteris. That's quite a chiddush. That's what the Nebuchadnezzar says, B'dasa Rama. At the end of the day, where does all this place us lamaisa? If the finishing act towards Tushem Shmaitz and Sveik Speker, Tachos, where does all this put us lamaisa? So the Ramah develops for us that there are really three different levels in terms of Makos, in terms of Ilchus Nida. So one level of Makos is what we spoke about 2 weeks ago, the best type of macha, maybe the worst medically, but the best kind of macha, api halacha, is that a woman knows she has a macha, and she knows it's yadua shemaitidam, she knows for a fact this macha is bleeding, or this macha will bleed when applied pressure to. She knows for a fact, medically, the doctor told her, this macha is a bleeding kind of a macha. That's the best halachic macha to have, because then we might mata everything. And anytime she has dam, short of when she's having an actual period. Tosis writes that when she's not, she's getting a period, so you can't close your eyes to the reality. You can't say, no, it's not a period, it's a macha. That's absurd. But if it's not the time when she usually gets a period, so then we're going to close our eyes, we're going to say, that's it, finished, everything's mutter, mutluchat chila, forget about it, she's mamish bleeding, doesn't matter, it's a macha, yadua shemaiti dam. That's hetna goma. Second level of macha is a macha, she'enu yadua shemaiti dam. So the Ramah is not willing to be mekel. The Ramah is machmir. We spoke about last week for the Mordechai. We treat a macha she'eni yadua shemotzi dam. She knows it's a macha, but she's not sure that it's actually bleeding. That's a safek. So we're willing to be mistarf that for sfeik sfeikas. We're willing to put together this with other sfeikas. That we'll discuss. That we'll pilpul with all the lumdas. The Ramah is willing to be mekel on that. But by itself, we treat it as a safek dam. Now the third level becomes important for us is in terms of Hilchos Ksamim. Let's say a woman doesn't have a flowing of these kinds of bloods. She finds a stain in the middle of the month. She finds a stain. So can she be tola on these makos? As we learned Hilchos Ksamim a few months ago, when a woman finds a stain, so she can be tola sometimes that maybe it came from a bug, and maybe it came from the butcher shop, and maybe it came from other sources. So can she be tola on these makos? So the Ramah writes Ksamim tolim b'kol shehu. The Ramah writes that when you have a kesem, so it's not a shal of the rice anyway. It's only a derabana, and there's no hargasha. So it's just a small kesem. So if she has any mako whatsoever, yadua motzidam, any yadush motzidam, everything's mutter. Because it's midday sfeikel enough, suffix samim alakula. When you have a riyas dam, there's a lot of blood, there's a shalav hagoshim, and deraisa, or you have dam, bishas tashmish, or dam and a bedika cloth, those are all chashashas, maybe of riyas dam and deraisa. So then we have to be very, very careful. What? According to some poskim, we didn't talk about the details of this yet, but according to some poskim, that dam on a bedika cloth, maybe a shalav even of a deraisa, perhaps. So whenever you have any of these real riyas dams, either a lot of blood or tashmish or bedikah, whatever those kinds of those higher level shailas, so then you need a real good makah to be told on. You need a real bona fide makah to be told on. To be told, some of the Ramah says, some, what's the big deal? Some you can be told of a kol shehu. So come the Acharonim and say, what did the Ramah mean when he said a kesem? We could just machavek, everything is mutter. Does that mean she has to at least know she has a macha? What if she doesn't even know that? She knows she has some discomfort. She has a cave. She has a little bit of a pain in that area. So everything's mutter. So all ksamim are mutter, but she has a discomfort. Or she has to at least know there's a macha there. She has to have at least someone looked in and saw there's something going on there. So that's a further machavek. Is how far the Ramah was willing to be mekel. So again, so we have three or possibly four different levels in terms of Hilchos macha. When a woman comes with a shaila that I have blood, here it is. But there's something going on. The macha, do a motzidam. Any do a motzidam. With a pain, without a pain, kesa, these are all the factors that a rav has to put into consideration before passing a shayla in terms of Hilchos Macha. So this was all in theory. This was all in Shulchan Aruch. This was all Siman Kuf Pei Zayin. Now we get lemaisa. So what happened today? Practically speaking, a woman comes with a shayla, says, I have dam, and we have a macha. So the last thing the rav does today is learn the klal of fake and the shach and whatever we spoke about last week was not a lot of lumdas, but that's not lemaisa what happens. What happens to lemaisa is as follows: that this, the first step is go to the doctor and find out what's going on. in the Ramah's days, they didn't know. In the Ramah's days, nobody knew what was going on. So the days of the Ramah, so you had to start pimpling. It's a soft fake, it's a fake fake, it's a, yeah, it's a bad. Epshel Levar Bakal, when you're able to Mavar what the answer is, so you have to go be Mavar. So you have to go to the doctor and get somebody to look inside and see what's going on. So usually, 99% of the time, what the doctor says will affect what the outcome of the halacha is going to be. So the doctor's going to take a look, and the doctor will tell you, they may not formulate it in these words, but that's the Rav's job, to take the doctor's information and to put it into the halacha category. So basically what the doctor will be telling you is, most of the time, is I see there's a makah there. It's a type of a makah that's yadua shemaitzidam. I see there's an irritation of the cervix, and every time a couple's going to have tashmish, she's going to bleed from that irritation of the cervix. Good. Very nice. That's all we have to hear. That's a makah yadua shemaitzidam. The doctor will say, she has a yeast infection, and that's causing a bleeding. Good. That's a makah yadua shemaitzidam. Chahena v'chahena. So many examples of cases where the doctor will, in effect, halachically be telling us, she has a makah yadua shemaitzidam, which that's the best kind of makah pi halacha, and everything's mutter bein lefi amordecha, bein lefi arash, but you don't need fakes, fakers, you don't need ramas, you don't need any news, you don't need to move that, everything's mutter if you have a makah yadua shemaitzidam. So that's what we're waiting for, that's what we want, that's in a sense what we want to hear the doctor to say. Every once in a while when I speak to a firm doctor who knows what's going on, so they'll even know enough to formulate it properly. I have doctors who have said to me, Rabbi Solovsky, let me explain to you what I see. I see a makah hayadua shemaitidam. They know the phrase already. They already got the down pat, the lushan from the they don't like the mordechai, they like the rashba. But whatever it is, that's basically whether the doctor knows how to formulate it properly, halachically or not, that's what we're waiting to hear. It's a makah hayadua shemaitidam. If it's not a makah hayadua shemaitidam, or it's not a makah at all, then we're going to have problems. That is going to be very hard for us to be makos. That's basically what we're going to do bisman hazeh. We do that with re'ias, and we do that with ksamim. That's efshel levar. So you have to send somebody to take a look. Sometimes it doesn't have to be mamash a doctor. Sometimes very often a midwife can make the same assessment. It's easier to get to. It's in the middle of the night. You have to get somebody to look at a shayla right away. Always not always so easy to get an appointment with their OB. So sometimes there are midwives who are also trained to be able to make these kinds of fairly simple assessments, whether there's a makah there or not. So that's usually what happens, tachlis. But everything we've been talking about up until now, that's tachlis, how it plays out, l'maisa. It's a nice fake faker, but it's never as fake fakers anymore because you just take a look.
So I'm saying anytime you have a mockish animal, it's not so. In other words, so then it's nothing?
You're usually not going to have that. Once there's a makah there, it's usually going to be a kind of a makah that's a makah yadua shemaitzidam most of the time. Most of the time they're going to find either a makah which is yadua shemaitzidam or it's going to be nothing. That's usually what ends up happening. It's very rarely that you find something in the middle. Because remember we said the shach definition of yadua shemaitzidam doesn't mean it has to be bleeding right now. It's a type of makah that when irritated will start to bleed. That's pretty much what's gonna happen. It's important though to note that whenever a woman comes with these kinds of shilas, so it has to be looked at right away, because otherwise these makas very often tend to heal. It's not such a serious makas, just a little irritation or something, so it'll tend to heal. So she'll come with a shayla, on Sunday, so she says, I can't get to the doctor today, so by the time I get an appointment on Wednesday, the doctor will look and I say, there's no makas there anymore. Of course there's no makas, healed already. So that's always good idea that these makas should be looked at immediately, if possible, because otherwise you may end up causing yourself chumras unnecessarily. So this whole discussion we've had up until now leads us really to the next topic in terms of Hilchos Nida, which touches upon other areas of halacha as well, and causes us to stop for a moment and ask ourselves, wait a second, we just got finished saying that we're going to rely primarily what the doctor is going to tell us. We're going to be matir, what would otherwise have been in Issachares, based on what the doctor is telling us, do we have a right to do that or not? What does Allah have to say about, we call Nemanas Arofim? Does the doctor have Nemanas in these areas? Does the doctor have Nemanas in any area of Allah? So what exactly is the halachic status of the words of the doctor vis-a-vis our practice of these dinim properly, and in terms of touching on other areas of Allah as well? So we just gave a lot of credibility to what the doctor say. Is that really true? So this is a sugi that appears in the Gemara, appears in the Rishon, appears in the Shulchan Aruch in a few different contexts. The primary discussion is in Hilchos Nida. In the sugi of Makas, Tzivin Kufei Zayin, that's where most of the Maamar Kamos about the Nemanos of doctors is found. So if you look at the Gemara and the Rishon, you see there are really two different issues that sometimes get mixed together in terms of just how much strength in Halacha, how much authority in Halacha we depend upon the doctors. There are two different issues. One issue is, do we assume that the doctor knows what he is talking about? Do we assume that they have the right information? That's question number one. Question number two is, even if they have the right information, do we have the halachic right to believe them? You know, there's a whole concept in halach called nemanos that we don't believe everybody so quickly. A person comes and a non-Jew comes and tells me that that the meat is kosher, so that's so posh that we believe them. So if again, it's posh that we don't believe them. So the question is, what nemanos do doctors have? Even assuming that they're qualified, that professionally they're probably telling the truth professionally, but al pi halacha, do we have a right to assume that that is in fact correct? So the two different issues: just how qualified the doctor is, and number two, just how trustworthy the doctor is. So we find that in certain areas of halacha, so we definitely take into consideration what the doctors have to say, both in terms of their professional ability as well as in terms of their credibility. Particularly in the end of Maseches Yuma, we find that the doctors are given tremendous amount of halacha authority in the realm of eating on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara tells us that who makes the ultimate call when the person eats on Yom Kippur? The Rofim, the doctors. So the whole sugya is in the Gemara about a person is sick on Yom Kippur, and we don't know whether the person has to eat or not. So the Gemara says, yes, the doctors. So the Gemara says, fakir, the Gemara says, yes, the doctors. Then you also ask the patient. The Gemara says that if you have somebody who's sick, and it looks to us like he's pretty sick, and the doctors say, no, he's okay. No, don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen if he doesn't eat. But the patient says, I feel like I have to eat. So that's also a fact, and it's also a consideration. Levi Yodea Maris Nafsho, that the patient himself sometimes has input into making the proper assessment in terms of whether he has to eat or not. But for sure, the doctor says the guy has to eat, so the guy says, no, I don't have to eat. It's a tough life. Listen to the doctor. So that's for sure. The halacha is that the doctor has what to say in the realm of eating in Yom Kippur. So come some Rishonim and say, yeah, that's true, the guy be eating in Yom Kippur, because there, Sofek Pekuach Nefesh is Lekula. Even if the doctor can create a latest of Sofek, so if the doctor tells us that I think this patient has to eat, so in Yom Kippur we don't have to say that we know the doctor's telling the truth. We know the doctor's right. We don't have to know anything in Yom Kippur. As long as we have a suffix, maybe the doctor's right, that's enough to require us to eat in Yom Kippur. So just because we find in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch that the doctor has a tremendous authority in the realm of issues of Pikuach Nefesh, that means the Kula, but it doesn't mean that means Pikuach Nefesh the Kula. It doesn't mean that we can rely on him the Kula in Uchus Nida. It doesn't mean that we can rely on him the Kula in other areas of Halacha. So some Rishonim say that. Some Rishonim say that the doctor doesn't really have nemanah, so we're not really convinced that he's telling us that he knows what he's talking about, and not necessarily convinced he's telling us the truth. In other areas of halacha, it's a special din in terms of pikuach nefesh. You have to trust the doctor because leis breira, because safek pikuach nefesh is the kula. But to be makel just stam on what the doctor says, so that you wouldn't have a right to do. The case where the Rishonim discussed this is a case in Uchos Nida. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Nida the following case. If you have a woman, she's what's called the Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish. That means every time she has relations with a husband, she's bleeding. So that's potentially a serious problem in halacha. So if you know that she has some kind of a makah, then she'll be mufteras. But if she doesn't have a makah, and it's the Tashmish itself that's causing the blood, that's a very, very serious problem. The Gemara says they can't remain married. How can they ever have relations every time they're together? So she's always bleeding, and the Dam is always not Machmas Makah. That's a serious problem. So that's the bad news. The good news, that never happened. The good news is that anytime we have a Rias Damash Tashmish, so we immediately send the woman to the doctor, and in 99.99% of the time, the doctor will tell you right away, it's a Makna Yadu Shemotzi Dam, we're just going to forget about it. But in that one crazy case that Baruch Hashem never had, most Rabbanim said never, no one today really has a classic Ra Damash Tashmish, but in the theoretical case of the Ra Damash Tashmish, so the halacha is that the couple sees, the woman sees blood three times in a row, so she's a Surah, finished, that's it, they can never be together, so they have to separate. Right. So the Rishonim discussed the following. Let's say the woman has become a Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish, and now she finally goes to the doctor, and the doctor does some kind of a treatment to her, and the doctor says, okay, you're healed. No, it's not going to happen anymore. So the Rishonim have a machlekes. Can the woman rely on that or not? Does the woman have a right to say, okay, great, the doctor said I'm healed, so good, let's be back together again. So some Rishonim say no. Some Rishonim say that the woman is a surah, and we have no idea if the doctor's telling us the truth or not. We have no idea whether the doctor's qualified to be telling us this. We don't know whether he knows what he's talking about. So we're going to go mati to do something which is a shavah deraisa, the rabbana, whatever the nature of the iser of the Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish is. We're going to be mati to do some kind of an iser based on the fact that the doctor said that he healed you. Mechatei said that you have a right to do that. So that's what some Rishonim said. The Sefer Truma says that in the sugya in Kuf Pei Zayin in your day of Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish, the Sefer Truma says that once the woman becomes a surah based on Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish, so the doctor has no nemanus whatsoever. We don't assume that he knows what he's talking about. Lakula, the fact that we trust him in Uchus Yom Kippur, that's because we have no choice. Because Pikuach Nefesh, Suffolk is Mutter, but to be Makel on a Nisanida based on what the doctor says, that would not be acceptable. And other Rishayim disagree with the Sefer Tumah Derivah, and the Baal HaTosfos disagrees and says, no, we assume the doctor knows what he's talking about, qualified, went to medical school, knows what he's talking about. This is again in the 1200s in France, so he's got the best up to date modern equipment, he knows what he's talking about, so we can assume that if he said he healed the woman, so Mustafa the woman is healed and she can go and resume relations with her husband. So Machlekes every Shanim. So comes the Riva and says that even according to me, who's Mekil, that we can trust the doctors. Says the Riva, wait a second, what do you mean we can trust the doctors? That means we can trust the type of a doctor who would normally have Netmanus in Halacha. It means we trust that the doctor knows what he's talking about. That I'm willing to be Mekil against the Sefer Truma, that we can assume the doctor knows what he's talking about. But Api Halacha, the doctor has to have Netmanus. So we have a rule in Halacha, Erecha Nem Visurim, that if a person comes and tells me that food is kosher, I have a right to believe them. Rashi writes, and if it wouldn't be for the halacha of Erech and Embisurin, how could anybody ever eat in anybody else's house? For that matter, how could you eat in your own house? You come home and your wife gives you a piece of chicken. So she tells you the chicken is kosher. Who told you the chicken is kosher? How do you know? Your wife told you. How does she know? Because the guy in Glad Express told her that it's kosher. How does he know that it's kosher? Because someone who shechted the chicken, someone at the OU told her that it's kosher. Everything is hearsay. It's Erech and based on Erech. But that's okay. That's the din of Erech and Embisurin. The only thing is that Erech and Embisurin is assuming that everyone in this chain of command are people who are from. People who are shomer Torah mitzvahs. If a person doesn't observe the halachas of kashrus, so then they have no nemunas to say that the chicken is kosher. So let's say if the shechet's not from, so the shechet tells, I shechted the chicken. Nobody saw him shecht. I shechted the chicken. So you don't have any nemunas. Or the butcher is not from, so he has no nemunas. So if the butcher's not from, you have to have a meshkiach there, who's talking going to be an echad, who's going to tell you that this is the same chicken that came in from the shechet. So everyone along the chain of the command has to be someone who's makbid on kashrus. Has to be someone who shomer Torah mitzvahs. That's what the halacha tells us. The Gemara in the beginning of Masechus Chulin tells us that if you have a person who's a choshed la'osodav, if you have somebody who doesn't observe that area of halacha, so they don't have any nemanus in that particular area of halacha, but they do have nemanus in other areas of halachas. Let's say, for example, you have somebody who's not machbar and shatnez. The guy wears shatnez, but he's very machbar and kasherus. So that person could theoretically tell you that the chicken's kosher. Not necessarily we'd want to hire him as the mashgiach, but whatever. But technically speaking, he could be the mashgiach. Once, as long as he's mocked, but in the area of kashrus. On the other hand, if you want him to be the one who's checking the suits for shatnez, that he wouldn't have nemanus. So let's say he's very mocked on shatnez, but he eats cheeseburgers. So then he would have nemanus in the realm of shatnez, not cheeseburgers. Again, each area of halacha is looked at independently. However, the Gemara says there are two exceptions to that rule. If a person is either a mumalev or a zara, let's say a guy, he keeps kosher, but he also worships idols. So then he has no nemanus whatsoever. Once he's an avid of a zara, so then we assume that at any moment's notice he's going to throw out the kashrus also. Or if the person is a mumul chal Shabbos before Hesia, guy's mamashim chal Shabbos, so then also he's a mumul chal terakula, and even if he keeps kosher. So he keeps kosher home, Rabbi, I keep kashrus, I don't keep Shabbos. That means up he didn't, we can't trust your kashrus. So that's why the basic requirement of any mashgiach, anyone who's involved in any of the kashrus stages along the way, that's what we always insist, he has to be shomer Shabbos. Because that's the din. The din is that if you're not a shomer Shabbos, then you lose all nemanos in all areas of halacha. So to over here, the Riva says that you can have a doctor who's going to come and tell this woman that you're not a nida anymore. So the Riva says that doctor has to be somebody who would have ne'amonos in the realm of a chasnida. So what does that mean? So they have to be someone who personally observes the halachas of nida. Let's say, for example, the woman who's going to be in charge of the mikvah. So the woman who's going to be in charge of the mikvah is going to be a woman who doesn't keep taras mishpacha. That's no good. The woman who's going to be in charge of the mikvah is going to be mechal Shabbos. That's no good. It has to be someone who's from who they themselves observe taras mishpacha, or else they're chosha liyosu davar, so then they don't have any ne'amonos in that era. So she's going to be, the woman's going to tell you, I'm the one who made sure that the mikvah was filled up properly, but I personally don't keep taras mishpachos. That's ridiculous. That wouldn't be acceptable. So the Riva says the same thing over here. Let's say the doctor himself doesn't observe taras mishpachos. So then he doesn't have nemanus in the realm of taras mishpachos. Worse, says the Riva, the doctor's not Jewish. So then the non-Jew has no nemanus whatsoever. The non-Jew is going to tell you that the mikvah was filled up properly. The non-Jew is going to tell you the chicken was cooked properly, was shechted properly. The non-Jew is going to tell you that the woman's not in need. The Riva says, that's ridiculous. How can you rely on that? So even the Riva who's makel to trust the doctor's ability, he trusts the doctor's ability, but he doesn't give an absolute, a stamp of approval to everything the doctor says, unless the doctor is someone who meets the standards of Nemanus, of Kotar Kula. So now there are two criteria before you can trust the doctor. Number one, you have to know the doctor knows what he's talking about. And then number two, you have to know that this person has Nemanus and Halacha to tell you something. Otherwise, how can you be making? How can you let this couple be together? How can you say this Makh is, how do you say that Dam is Dam Makh? How do you know? The guy has no Nemanus. If he tells you that the chicken's kosher, he doesn't have Nemanus. So he tells you that's Dam Makh, or Beicha tastes that he has Nemanus. So Lachar, that's a problem. That becomes a big problem for us. If this is true, what the Rivah is saying, which sounds, it makes a lot of sense, so we're going to have serious problems. So any doctor who's either not from or not Jewish is not going to have any Nemanus in the realm of Chasnida. That may be good for some of the practices of some of the firm doctors, but not good for anybody else. So what do we do about that? Is there any way around this issue? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Chulin. I guess we feel what it was like in the Midbar when every last drop of water wasn't exactly an ice problem in the Midbar, but a similar idea. There is a Gemara in the seventh parak of Maseches Chulin, where the Gemara discusses the following shaila: a person is cooking a pot of potato soup, and all of a sudden a little bit of chaza falls into the potato soup. So he doesn't know, is there enough chaza that it poses a problem? So what does it depend on? So the Mishnah says it depends if there's nesidas tam or not. If there's enough chaza in the potato soup that the taste is discernible, then the potato soup is treif. If a little bit of a chaza fell in and the taste is not discernible, then the potato soup is kosher. That's the raise up, and I said, "Tam Ferish and Mishnah in the seventh parak of Maseches Chulin." So the obvious problem the Gemara raises: how am I going to find that out? How am I going to figure out whether it's tasted or not? I'm going to taste it, and if it tastes as chaser, then I've just violated the nisar of eating chaser. So how in the world am I going to figure out whether this tastes like chaser or not? So the Gemara says the answer is very simple: you bring in a guy. That's what the Gemara says. You ask a guy to come and taste the potato soup for you. So come to Rishonim on the spot and say, "Wait a second, how do you trust the guy? If the guy tells you that I don't taste any chaser, so then the Gemara says you'll not eat the soup. How can you eat the soup? So the first taste, the first spoonful you're going to have." Maybe the guy was lying, and it turns out that they're eating treifas. So what nemanus does the guy have? We just got finished giving whole shtukl Torah that the guy has no nemanus in kosher. So here the guy is telling you that the food is kosher. So make a taste, you can believe it. So there's machlekes Rashi and Tosfos what the nature of that nemanus is all about. So Rashi says you believe him based on the principle that's called mesiach lefituma. Mesiach lefituma means that the guy doesn't realize that he's giving you any important information. He thinks he's just schmoozing. We assume people tell the truth. Basic people tell the truth unless they have some reason to lie. Stam to lie, stam for no reason. Even people who are not necessarily trustworthy, they'll only lie. They're able to get something out of the lie. But otherwise, mechateis, I should lie. So I'd say that's the basic assumption when you ask somebody for directions. Before GPS, there used to be a concept. Before you were born, there used to be a concept that if you got lost somewhere, you pull over to the side and you ask somebody for directions. That was a whole concept in driving. So how do you assume the guy's telling you the truth? Mechateis, he's telling you the truth. So the answer is, every once in a while, the guy gives you bad directions, but 99% of the time, if the guy tells you, if he's from that neighborhood, he tells you where to go, he's telling you the truth. Because why should he lie? Like, what in the world does he have to gain from lying? So he's telling you the truth. So that's the assumption in Halacha also. That if a guy has no reason to lie, make a taste that he's lying. So that's the concept called Mesiach Lefitumah. It's a Gemara at the end of Bavakama, where the Gemara says that if a guy tells you something, just stop schmoozing away, just for no reason. So you assume that he's probably telling you the truth. So comes Rashi and says, you have to ask the guy not to make it such a production out of it, not to make it significant, not to make the guy realize that we really care what he has to say. Just stop schmoozing, still sit down with him, have a bowl of soup, how does it taste to you? You taste a little chaser in there? And let the guy say, I don't taste any chaser in there. Oh, great, good. What else is new? How the kid? You know, you make a nice, make cozy conversation, very casual conversation with him. Mesiach lefitumos, Rashi says, good, he has that moment, and finished. So come most of the Rishonim and disagree with Rashi. I said, wait a second. The Gemara says in the end of Avakam that principle, Mesiach lefitumah, doesn't always work. It only works for derabbanim, so it doesn't work for deraisas. This shaila of having chazer in the soup, that's a deraisa shaila. So how can Mesiach lefitumah work? So the emes is Rashi probably is not so bothered with that kasha, because Rashi l'shitasu holds in chulin that tam kikur is only derabbanim. So again, leaving out the yordech like alapas, we're leaving the yordech like base right now. But those who remember from the good smicha days, it's Rashi l'shitasu. But so what is Pshat in the Gemara if you don't accept Rashi? So Tosu says, I'll tell you what the MS of Pshat in the Gemara is. How can you believe the guy? So Tosu says, it's not just any guy who you're bringing in there. You're bringing in the world expert, the chef, the connoisseur who's going to come and tell you that there is chaz, there's no chaz. But what's the name? The one who does the... Who's the one famous cook on TV?
Emerald.
Okay. Who you beat? Who is that?
Julia Child.
Julia Child, yes, from my Tkuf, okay, whatever. So you bring in, still alive, and what? She's not even, okay, see, I dated myself, okay, with the pre-GPS days. So you ask, you come and ask the big mumcha, the big expert, and you say, taste this. And I say to her, your reputation is on the line, and if you tell me the wrong thing, if you realize that you're lying, no one's ever going to support your TV programs, no one's going to ever buy your cookbook or your recipes anymore, you'll be out of business. So we make the person realize that their whole reputation, their professional reputation is online. So Tosfos says, that's what's called Uman Lamar Nafshe, Uman Lamar Umnase, that a guy who's an Uman, a guy who's a professional, so a professional, he's scared. It means he's not going to mess up. It means B'med Devar Mamurim, that we don't believe. Stama Goy tells me the food's kosher. It's not going to cost them anything anyway. So the guy comes and says, aha, I'm going to trick these Jews and I'll tell them that the food is kosher. So we can't believe them. But if the guy knows that they have everything, the whole career is hinging upon them telling the truth, and we're going to show them up in a minute that they're lying, so, and it's going to cost them professionally, so then we assume there's an unbelievable row. Majority is that the guy is probably telling the truth. And that's a halachic nemonos that works for dinam d'oraisa. That's what the Gemara says. That's the source. That's this halacha of Uman Lamari Umnasei. That's the basis of this halacha, that you're allowed to trust the goyish chef. That's Tosfos Pshat in the Gemara. So come the post kibbutz need and say, maybe we can use this Tosfos in our situation as well. When you have Stam, a goy comes and tells you, yeah, this chicken's kosher, yeah, the mikvah's kosher, yeah, and it's not going to cost them professionally if they tell us a lie. So then in the chenami, then we have problems. We can't believe the goy. Erech and emisur doesn't apply to a non-Jew. But if it's an uman lamar umnasei, so then that trumps all these halachas. That's what Taisa says in Maseches Chul in the seventh parak. So that's going to play out of the chasnid as well. A woman goes to the doctor, and the doctor is going to say, I'm telling you, you have a macha, you do a shemotzi dam. Probably the non-Jewish doctor doesn't formulate it in that way, but he says that you have such and such condition. And now the woman realizes a little bit later, she goes to another opinion, whatever. It turns out that this doctor, Mamish, was telling her a lie. Mamish, and she confronts the doctor, and she says, why did you tell me this lie for? She says, I was just lying, just kidding, just making trouble for you. So that guy's going to be written up in the newspaper. There's going to be, have all kind of very, very good PR for himself. And no doubt the person's going to suffer financially. He's going to suffer professionally from that. So since Bizman Hazeh, no doctor today is going to deliberately lie. Doctors make mistakes. I don't want to say anything bad. Stomach doctors once in a while make mistakes. But is a doctor going to deliberately lie, Bizman Hazeh? A guy spent 4 years in medical school, spent 4 years GS training, he's got to build up a whole practice. He's going to deliberately lie to tell the woman something that's deliberately not true. Not shayach b'zman hazeh. So that's called umalamar umnasi b'zman hazeh, and therefore we can rely on that Tosfos who says that it's okay. That's what some poskim have a chiddush. Other poskim b'zman hazeh are makel based on different grounds. This appears in Rav Ozna Seif, in Shiri Shev Delevi, in Taras Abayis, in Ravadi Yosef. The Galia poskim Ruchas Nida today come up with the following suggestion why they think it should be mutter b'zman hazeh for a totally different reason. We have a principle in halacha that's called something which is going to be revealed in the future, easily going to be tested in the future. So we assume people don't lie. Nobody wants to get caught in a lie. That's what the Gemara at the end of Yivama says. That's part of the reason why we're very makel when an Eid Echad comes and says that he saw that the husband died. So one of the reasons why we don't insist on to aid them, it's a milsa David Gluye. Because how can a guy walk at the basin and say, I saw Reuven dead, and Reuven's going to come in tomorrow. Bahar Gurabo is going to walk in tomorrow and say, here I am. So it's going to make you look like a fool. So a milsa David Gluye, lo mishachim inch. People tend not to lie in a situation where it's going to be easily shown that they lied. There's a famous maaseh with the Rav that the Rav said during the Cuban Missile Crisis in the 1960s, even before my time. So the Rav said that apparently, I don't know, one of the U.S. Somebody in the UN was accusing the Soviets of having missiles in Cuba, and the Soviet ambassador gets up and he says, there are no missiles in Cuba. So the American pulls out all the slides and all the pictures that they took from the spy planes, and it shows, Mama shows, the Russian guys loading up the missiles onto the launchers. So, and the guy's getting up and says, there are no missiles in Cuba. And the guy's showing the pictures and pointing at this man, there are no missiles in Cuba. So the Rav said when he saw that, so he said that maybe the din of milsa avila gluyim lo mishachri doesn't apply to his man as that. He said, you see the guy's mama's lying through his teeth, and they're showing him that it's not true, and he's still still alive. So the Rav had, I don't think he meant it in the halachic world. I think he was just, you know, pondering about the fact that the world is sunk to such a degree of dishonesty. A guy can mamish lie right to your face, even though I'm showing you the evidence. I'm pointing to the evidence. Still, people are lying. But putting aside that story of the Rav and the Cubans, the bottom line is we assume there is such a cloud called Milstad Fidelaglil Mashakab Internet. People aren't going to say something they can easily get caught lying. So come the Gedolei HaPoskim of today and say that medicine has advanced, and especially in this area of medicine, has advanced significantly since the Middle Ages in many, many different ways, but this particular nekuda. In ancient medicine, so there was very little of examining the patient. There was a lot more philosophizing. It was the Greeks, the Shittas, and the Greeks weren't so into making experiments in general about science. The Greek basic mahalach was that somebody came up with a big theory. They sat around in the, you know, sat around the Colosseum, where was the Colosseum, where was the Greek place? Forums, whatever, they sat around the camp with some great theory, and if it made sense logically, so it was true. The concept of experimentation, the concept of actually looking at to see whether this theory holds up, lemaisa, so that was introduced much later that was part of the scientific method that started many, many hundreds of years later. So the Greeks are much more in the world of they were in the Elmas al-Yoinim, they weren't so much in the Elmas al-Tachtoinim. So lemaisa medicine didn't have the ability to test very often, like especially in this area. How are you going to test? We spend so much time with the Ramah, with the Rebutas, the Makhay, Dushim Motsidam, Enim Motsidam. Just look and see the answers. They couldn't see. They didn't have the equipment. They couldn't make these assessments so well. So a lot of it was philosophizing. A lot of it was thinking, what should it be? You know, a woman has certain symptoms. So logically, does it make sense it's this condition, not this condition? But in terms of practically looking, there was very, very little that was actually done in terms of that. So come to Pelskim and say, Bizman Hazer, the assessment of a mach is totally different. Because man is there, a woman comes to the doctor and says, I have something's bothering me there, take a look. So the doctor says, let's take a look. So the doctor goes inside, takes a look, does a sonogram, does a disc, or that, whatever he does, he takes a look, and he sees. I'm telling you, this is what I see. This is no longer philosophizing. So come to Pelskim and say, in the olden days, the doctor would say his theoretical, diagnosis without having seen anything. So then it could be the doctor's lying. How are you going to catch a doctor in his lie? So you're going to go to another doctor tomorrow. The other doctor is going to give you his shtickle Torah. So his philosophical assessment is disagreeing with the first doctor. So who's right? I have no idea who's right. So the idea of catching a doctor in a lie was so foreign in ancient medicine, because it's my opinion against your opinion. But Bizman Hazeh says, or Vosner says, Rav Adi Yosef, the first doctor told the woman, I see there's a maka there. I'm looking and I see there's a doctor there. 20 minutes later, she's going to go to another doctor. And the doctor's going to go and say, what are you talking about? There is no maka there. I'm looking at the same. There's no maka. The first doctor's mom is lying to you. There's no maka there. There never was a maka there. So the type of a statement, certain types of statements in medicine today, now become milsud avir legluyes. Not everything, I imagine. There's still a lot of things in medicine today that I can interpret the facts one way, and you can interpret the facts the other way, and you can't say the first guy's lying, but there are certain things that are outright, mamash outright lying. One doctor says, I'm telling you, I see that you have this maka. And the other doctor says, I'm looking at the same picture, and there's no maka there. So that's a milsa davida legluye. So come to Pesukim and say, when you have a milsa davida legluye, lo mishaka ba'inshi, that we can assume that the people are telling the truth. And therefore, these Gedolei Pesukim, Ravos, Ravati Yosef, who wouldn't even make on the Shahs of Kores, the Shahs of Zisun deraisa, based on that assumption, Bizman Hazeh, that when a woman goes to a doctor, even a not from doctor, a not Jewish doctor, and the doctor says, I'm telling you, I see with my own two eyes that you have a maka, we assume the doctor is telling the truth, either because of the svara of Uman Lomar Umnase Bizman Hazeh, or because of the svar of Milsa Avila Glui. However, the Medvah Mamur and the post can point out, this is only true if the doctor is practicing 21st century medicine, namely that they're looking, that they're telling you that I see such and such with my own two eyes. Sometimes this happens, not sometimes, it happens very often, a woman will call a doctor and start to describe symptoms. The woman will say, you know, I have a little bit of staining, maybe a little bit of discomfort, and the doctor's not too concerned, whatever it is. And the doctor will say, oh, don't worry, the cervix is inflamed. They'll give you some kind of a diagnosis over the phone and say, don't worry about it. It's a makom, shuan, don't worry about it. So the post can say that's a meaningless statement in halacha. But the doctor just says off the top of his head that, oh, it's probably something, without examining, without seeing be'inayim, that doesn't mean anything. based on all things that we said before, that's not a umran lamar umna say, the doctor is making a mistake. There's no milsta vidla gluye. If the doctor didn't examine the woman and actually see and say that this is what I saw, and this is what I'm telling you, your condition is based on what I saw with my own two eyes, so that's a meaningless statement in halacha. That would be a problem. We have to assume that there's no maka there, and the woman would remain asura. So it's not enough just to go to the doctor, is that you have to go to the doctor who's going to actually examine her. That's why I tell the woman, even if you go to the doctor, you have to get the answer from the doctor, not in the doctor's office, in the discussion room. You have to get it in the examination room. If the doctor, I mean, he can give you the assessment afterwards, after he examined you. But if you just walk in and you sit down and schmooze to the doctor, say, oh yeah, don't worry about it. It sounds like it's just some mock will give you some medication and call me next week. That's meaningless in halacha. The doctor has to mamash examine and see, this is what I saw. Many, many times you have these kinds of conversations with women. A woman calls me and says, I went to the doctor. The doctor said I have such and such. So I asked the woman, did the doctor examine you? No. Examine you. So he told me this is what it is. I said, that's meaningless. You go back to the doctor and you have to be examined and let the doctor talk to me on the phone or let the doctor tell you. And I want to hear the halacha equivalent to the following statement of a maka hayadua shemotzi dam. If you can give me some kind of a description that meets those criteria of maka hayadua shemotzi dam, then and only then is the woman muteris. So it's not that we don't trust the doctors. I trust the doctors 100% bizman is there. But you have to trust the doctors when they examine, when they're telling you exactly what they're seeing, not just what they're, if they're practicing medicine from ancient Greece, from 2,000 years ago, of not examining, so then that's going to be a problem. But whatever they see behind Iyam, so then we assume that would be okay bizman is there. So to sum up the whole sugya of Damak, we've been on Damaka for about, I skipped 2 weeks in the middle, but for about 6 weeks, we've been on Damaka. The bottom line is Damaka is that yes, there's a principle of Damaka, that Maka Yadu Shemotzi Dam, we paskin, is necessary. How do you ascertain that? The Ramah, his system of figuring out what is fake is, but as that, we have a little bit of a different system. But at the end of the day, we're all trying to accomplish the same thing. We're trying to make sure that this Dam, Belishim Sofik, is really coming from a place that's not a problem. And if and when we can ascertain that, Bein Lefi Ramah, Bein Lefi us, that we have a Maka Yadu Shemotzi Dam, that we have a right to be Mekel, and the woman would in fact be Muteris. Next week, we're going to move on to a very, very unique kind of a Maka, which breaks all the rules of everything we spoke about. That's the status of Dam Basulim, the first Maka that the woman has if she gets married, where that is in its own category, own unique set of halachas. But putting that aside, the basic rules of Dam Maka are pretty much the way we laid them out.